The Good News Hour greets you once again. Your speaker is Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas, and we sincerely trust that we shall have something today that will be of a real profit to all who listen in. We seek certainly each time we come before the microphone to have something from the God of heaven, and we know that nothing can compare with a thus saith the Lord. Now I'm hoping today to be able to make a little distinction. That is to say, I should like to show you the difference between the Gospel by St. John and the Epistles of John, as we've often pointed out to you that the Epistles of John may be described as a family epistle written for the children, but more about that in a broadcast that follows. I shall, however, say that the difference, one of the great differences between the Gospel by St. John and the Epistles of John would be this. In St. John, we have brought before us the way a sinner or sinners obtain everlasting life. And I'll say a great deal about that. Then in the Epistles of John, we have how that eternal life is sustained, how that eternal life is developed, how that we may grow in grace and learn more of the secrets of the heart of our God and of our Father. Provision has been made. However, it's necessary, first of all, to become acquainted with our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He came from God the Father. He definitely tells us that. And then He tells us, too, also, in the very opening chapter, and about verse 18, He says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared Him," or hath led Him forth into full revelation. You know, after all, the knowledge of God and the salvation of God and all that He has for us comes to us by way of revelation. The salvation of God is a revelation. The Apostle Peter learned that, and certainly Paul, our Apostle, learned it as well, and so does each and every soul who gets saved, and saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you could never be saved. And so, the Son of God came that He might tell us about the Father. In other words, He came too that He might bring us to God, that He might bring us to the Father's heart, and then eventually to the Father's home. Now, in the Gospel by St. John, then, in that 20th chapter, we have these most interesting words. That's about verse 31 of the 20th chapter. But these are written. That is to say, the 20th chapter, this is the end verse of the 20th chapter, and I could say without a moment's hesitation that any of my hearers desiring to know how to obtain right here and now everlasting life, salvation, eternal life, you could find it in St. John chapter 1 or chapter 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. In fact, in any chapter that's found in this wonderful gospel. And then it sort of seems like in chapter 20 and verse 31, it's climactic. The climax, the apex has been reached, and so he simply says, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." Now the Word of God knows of no other way of a sinner, of a child of Adam, obtaining everlasting life other than on the ground of simple faith. Ah, yes, I thank God for those precious words that are found in the Lord's Prayer, His intercessory prayer in St. John chapter 17, where He says, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." And if you do not know Him, we would certainly like to introduce you to Him. We'd like to bring you to Jesus. In fact, in this very gospel, we have just such instances as that. And you know, wherever the salvation of God is genuine, I mean where it reaches the heart and reaches the soul, I'll tell you what it does. It not only gives me peace with God, it not only gives me the knowledge that my sins are eternally gone, but I'll tell you what it does. It fills my heart with joy unspeakable. Yes, that's how it's spoken of in Romans chapter 5, where the apostle there says, the apostle Paul, "We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, coming back then to chapter 1. I want to say just a little about this. In about verse 7, we read there of a witness, a competent witness, and it said of him, that of course would be John. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. You see, he was just a finger post, and he pointed men and women to, that is John. John the Baptist pointed men and women to our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, you read this very same chapter, read it from the very first verse to the end, and when you come to about verse 29, you read an amazing statement that goes like this. It's very, very interesting and very, very precious. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, how we thank God for the sending of His Son into this world. For that one who undertook the great question and who settled the problem of sin eternally. And listen, he did not do that by the holy, spotless life he lived, and he did it, though, by going to the cross and by dying in the sinner's place. And it was there, you know, that God made to meet upon His Son the iniquity of us all. And the speaker wonders how anyone could remain in unbelief. And I doubt if you could, if you would simply open your heart, or in other words, if you'd come to the Word of God and lay aside preconceived notions and biased opinions that might have been formed. And you just approach the Word of God in this fashion and say, Lord, speak, thy servant heareth, I have the hearing ear, and I'd like to know what you have to say. Well, I'll tell you what he'd say to you. You turn to St. John chapter 5 and verse 24. This is what the heavenly messenger would say, our Lord Jesus Christ, for these are his own words. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, or for sure, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Now, let me just point out a little further. What we believe is especially emphasized in this gospel, and that is to say the gospel by John. It's written that you might become a believer in the Son of God. In other words, that you might own the Son of God as your own personal Savior. For instance, turn to chapter 3 and the 35th verse, which says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. Then notice the last verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. And it is the desire of our God, I'm sure, it's the desire of the speaker, that you might become a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we didn't say a believer about our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we stress and re-stress again and again, the two things that are essential to believe in order to become a child of God, in order to know that your sins are forgiven, in order to know that you have eternal life, you first must believe the truth of God about yourself. And the truth of God about yourself is that you have sinned against God. Yes, and that you have come short of the glory of God. For the Scriptures say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there is no difference. And it would be wonderful if men and women were honest, would face facts in the light of God's holy presence and in the light of a coming sure eternity. And I'm confident if you face these things in the presence of God, you would be crying out today from that soul of yours, what must I do to be saved? And you would hear the only answer that could come from God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you could not possibly be saved on any other ground. I repeat it, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. It'd be a wonderful thing, you know, to put the Scriptures to the test. Now, we frequently stress that you need not question the veracity of the truth of the Word of God. God's Word from Genesis 1 right to the last word in Revelation is true. Every word of it is true. It is pure. But unless you exercise personal faith in the Son of God, that one sent from God into the world, that one that died for the ungodly, that died for the lost, that died for you, you could never know the peace and joy that salvation brings. Another thing I should like to stress too, the salvation of God does not take away from you pleasure. It is not, as we so often point out, a killjoy. But I tell you what it does. It brings the peace and the calm of heaven into your souls. And in these days when men's hearts are filled with fear and trembling and men's hearts are failing them day after day, I'll tell you what, you could be different. You'd be able to say, thank God I have perfect peace and rest in my soul, the rest that He gives, the peace that Jesus gives, He wants that you shall enjoy today. And so that one who came out from God has given to us 20 consecutive chapters to tell us how we can come into the possession of everlasting life in a moment of time by simply trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, receive Him as your Savior today and be saved with an everlasting salvation. We'd like to get a line from you. This address will reach us. Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas.